Have an order of service in front of me. See, we're organized. All right. Let me just give you a little recap as Jeff Neal's putting this up. We put together a slideshow of pictures from this past year of what God has done. And certainly we say to God be the glory. And let me just run down before we start hitting the button there, Jeff Neal. Just looking back the past year, Vacation Bible School, we have over 100 boys and girls attended, about 4 salvation decisions. In July, we took a mission trip to Utah, Mormon country. 35 teens and adults attended. 6 souls were saved of young people while we were there. Hearts were burdened for those living in Mormon country. September, revival meetings with Tom Palmer. Clubs began a new year, and clubs this year, I believe, had about 3 salvation decisions there. February, we had our couples retreat in Lititz, Pennsylvania. In March, we took 5 young people to visit some Christian colleges. And in April, our missions conference, we put together 15,000 John and Romans in Portuguese for the Cape Verde Islands. And so we thank the Lord for that. We had new candidates, Josh and Francis Deku, as well as our own missionary, Ruth Coleman, there. And in May, we welcomed our new associate pastor and his family, Jeff Neal and Judy Weiler. So just rejoice with us. So watch some pictures from this past year.
Who has held the oceans in his hands? Who has numbered every grain of sand? Kings and nations tremble at his voice. All creation rises to rejoice.
Behold our God seated on his throne. Come, let us adore him. Behold our
follow after fortune and fame. So when they're gone, the world will remember their names. But I am learning that what matters most can't be held in my hands. And that riches aren't the measure of the worth of a man. It's found in me, faithful to the cross, faithful to His call. Fight and kept the faith. And when at last I stand before the throne, I want to hear Him say, "Well done, that my heavenly Father would be proud."
Faithful to hear what happened to the Italian chef? Oh, he passed away.
Thank you, Steve. Day by day, beautifully done. Many of us in this congregation have things that weigh on our hearts, things that burden us down, things that you wonder if it matters to anybody else, but to you it's an important thing. It's something you're dealing with. I know many of us in this room lost a friend this past week, maybe a family member. And there's lots of things we have going on in our life, matters of this world, things going on around us. And there are things that are really important to us. And this song that we're about to sing as a family, the title of it is this. It says, if it matters to you, then it matters to the master. The verse says, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. My son Titus is going to share what's going to be the theme verse here of VBS coming up here in August. But would you say that verse for him today? Jeremiah 33:3 says,
call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show great and mighty things which thou knowest not.
We just simply have to call unto him, and he will answer us. This little song says, if it matters to you, then it matters to the master.
When life lets you down and you feel more broken than whole, when the wounds go deeper than words and you can't tell a soul, I may not know what you're going through, may not can make that high mountain move, but one thing I found that I really want you to know.
If it matters to you, it matters to the master. He wants to share the burdens you bear. Whisper peace when your world gets shattered.
If it's your greatest joy,
or your deepest pain, or you're really needing an answer, if it matters to you, it matters to the master. Friend, do you think the maker and giver of life is far too busy to care about your troubles and strife? He sees that sparrow that falls to the ground, and he hears those tears that don't make a sound. If you only knew how precious you are in his sight. If it matters to you, it matters to the master. He wants to share the burdens you bear. Whisper peace when your world gets shattered.
If it's your greatest joy,
or your deepest pain, or you're really needing an answer, if it matters to you, it matters to the master. If it's your greatest joy, or your deepest pain, or you're really needing an answer, I know my Savior cares.
It matters to the master.
And it does, it matters to the master. What you're going through matters to the master. Turn with me to number 409. Number 409. Lucas is learning to hold his microphone and hold still. The worst place to be in the entire building when your kids are singing is behind them because you can't see what they're doing. But anyways, number 409. We'll sing just the chorus, but I know whom I have believed him and am persuaded. Let's stand together. Just the chorus. Children, you are dismissed. Just the chorus. Number 409 instrumentals. If you'll give us an introduction to that chorus, we'll sing, but I know whom I have believed in on just the chorus. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day.
And, it is our privilege and joy to have Brother Paul Deku Sr. with us. And when I think of someone that would be appropriate to speak in an anniversary Sunday, I want someone that has been acquainted with this ministry for many years, and Paul Deku is one of those. And I've been my privilege for the last 8 years or so to get to know Paul when he's come and visits, and I've always admired how that God's not only used him in Fiji for many of those many years, but also God has also called his sons to work right alongside him there, and what a privilege and a joy that is. And so, Paul, why don't you come, and we're asking God just to speak to our hearts. Would you ask God to do the same to your hearts as he comes this morning?
Thank you, Pastor, for those kind words, and it's a blessing and a privilege to be at my age anywhere. Just joking. But really, God is faithful and God is good, and every day is a new day and an opportunity to do what the Lord would have us to do. And just want to thank this church, first of all, to congratulate you on your, I call it your birthday Sunday. God has given 61 years here, and you know, we thank the Lord for his faithfulness there in the mission field. We have been missionaries over 30 years. I can't really keep all the numbers up, but I know that we served here in America for 10 years and then 30 years overseas. And someone asked me if I'm going to stop or if I'm going to slow down, and I said, I'm going to go faster. I'm going to go harder for the Lord because the days are short and the time is short. Let's ask the Lord to bless us at this time. Dear loving Father, I thank you for Puzzletown Road Bible Church, and I thank you for this day that we could be gathered together in your name. And loving Father, I pray for your presence, and I pray for your power, and I pray for the pastor and the members of this church that they would keep their eyes on Jesus. And we know that you can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we would ask or think. I pray that I would not be the speaker today, but that you would be the speaker as I yield myself afresh to you, and that you would give me, Lord, the message that you put upon my heart. Lord God, we give you all the glory and all the honor for life, for breath, and for all the privileges we have to be able to live for Jesus Christ. We'll thank you again forever and ever. Amen. And, you know, today I'm here personally with my dear wife for many years to thank you for helping us with our van and also towards our building in our new church, which is 2 hours away. And so we have a nice vehicle to go to our ministry. And then we also have a piece of land, and we want to put that building up as soon as we can. So thank you. Take your Bibles this morning. I want you to turn to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. You know, I remember someone was talking about this part of the country, and they said there's four seasons. There's, let me get it right, because I haven't lived in four seasons for a long time in my life, but I know that there's winter, and there's spring, and there's summer, and there's autumn. And the fifth season is hunting season. Okay, I got it. Now I can relax. But how many of you like to go hunting? How many of you like to go fishing?
Yeah.
Some of you are shy, but I know what you're thinking. So today we're going to go fishing with Jesus. And as we think of moving ahead as a church, as we think of moving ahead for God, I want to just bring some things home. My son Joshua, as you know, he was here for the missions conference. You know, he grows up in Pennsylvania, and he's out on the mission field. He can't go hunting. And, you know, the first day of buck, everybody's flashing their pictures, and everybody's showing how big of a buck they got and the experiences they had. And poor Josh, he's over there in the corner. I said, "Dear God, help Josh." I said, "He needs to be able to fit in and to be a part of coming back." So, make a long story short, we were out hunting, and a church took us out, and the pastor was with us, and some church members up north, and God sent a buck by. And Josh shot. I was in the next field, and I came running over, and he said, "Dad, I think I hit it." That was his, you know, his response, you know, like, "Well, did you or didn't you? Your blood." You know, I'm teaching him all these things. So I moved up a little farther through the bushes, and there was a 9-point buck laying there. Wow, God is faithful. He took his pictures to school the next day and showed everybody, and he said, "Thank you, Lord." I was fishing up in one of the islands in the South Pacific, and the pastor had a boat, and we were going to get up early in the morning, and I got everybody's attention right now, don't I? And I really didn't want to go out that early. You know, it was like you have to prepare the gear, and you have to, go out into the choppy ocean in a little boat. And here's these big waves going up and down, and I thought, this isn't going to be very good. And so I got to get discouraged, and we're out there, and pretty soon on my line was a tug, and I started reeling. I kept reeling and reeling and reeling, and it got harder, harder, just like they have those TV shows. I was looking for the cameras. And so as a fish came closer to my boat, there it was. Now, kilos is 2.1. It was over 20 kilos, which would make it over 40 pounds. And the name of the fish was Wahoo. And I said, "Wahoo." Thank you, Lord, for that opportunity to catch the biggest fish that I'd ever catch out in the sea. You know, in verse 4 of this story about Jesus going fishing, it says, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a drought." My sermon today is follow Jesus and launch out into the deep. You know, one thing you got to understand about pastors is in their hearts, the heart is burning with fire to preach the word of God. Whenever those two disciples walked with Jesus along the Emmaus Road, it said that our hearts burned within us. As we come and hear the word of God, we try to get encouraged or to get challenged. And I don't know how you move Christians in America anymore because they're so filled and crowded with other things, physically and not spiritually. Would you let God speak to you today and challenge your heart in this anniversary? To be moved. To do something. And that's what Jesus was trying to give us, his story, that we might really see the difference. Today, when I talk about the potential that's here, you know, I saw those, what God had done in the past, but we shouldn't look back. The greater days are ahead. That's what we look at in the mission field. The greater days are ahead. When it says launch out, here we are. You know, we stayed in the cities, we stayed in the towns, and here comes my young son Joshua. He says, "Dad, we got to go out to the outer islands. We got to go into the interior." Okay, I'm right with you. And here we have to go, Father. Launch out means go out into the deep. He didn't say go out in the shallow. When you go fishing, you go with the nets along the shore. I've seen it. You go in the daytime. You don't go in the afternoon when the sun's out. Fish will be gone, hiding. And so he says, launch out. That's what I'm challenging this church today, to launch out. I'm talking about Jesus who said this. At thy word, Jesus is God. Jesus is Messiah. Jesus is Savior. Jesus is King. Jesus is Master. Jesus is all we need. Amen? But see, we try to be satisfied with other things, but you know, this world will never satisfy. I've seen people all their lives try to find satisfaction in this world, and it'll never satisfy. They're out today trying to find satisfaction, not worshiping God, but worshiping other things. And they'll never find peace and real purpose. Jesus can make our church and our lives all we could ever want and hope. Jesus is worthy for us to follow him. The pulpit today is my fishing boat. You know, John Wesley said, the world is his parish. So let's fish today. Jesus was the fisherman, and he used the miracle of the fishes to catch men for his eternal work. Matthew 4:19, follow it. It says, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Let's read our story, beginning in verse 1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake Gennesaret, and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them, and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. I don't think it's a big ship. I think it's that was the word they used, but a boat. Verse 4, now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, which is Peter, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for the draught or the catch. And Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. Wow. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help him. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. What a story. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, as the draught of the fishes they had taken. And so also James and John and the son of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and follow him. Jesus and his followers went fishing, and it changed their lives. They were to go into all the world and preach the gospel. One of our favorite songs for our people in Fiji is Little as Much, when God is in it. I think of that little boy that had two fish and five loaves that Jesus made. And he gave it to Jesus, and he fed 5,000 people. Throughout the years, this church, this local assembly, the pastors, many have come to receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Missions giving, missions prayers, mission going. Because you and I obeyed the calling. Today, as we think about it, kings and queens and prime ministers and presidents and chiefs and scientists and doctors and policemen and businessmen and pilots have been changed because of the gospel. And 1 Corinthians chapter 1 says that no man should glory in his flesh, because it all belongs to God. You know, when I talk about a prime minister, I could tell you many stories if I had time. You know, in America, we have to rush. Like we're Russians or something. In Fiji, you know, they say that the Europeans invented the watch, but we own the time. Fiji time. But as I think of it today, I think of pilots that were saved to come to our ministry there in Fiji. One of the pilot was sitting by another one, and I said, you guys know each other, don't you? And he said, yeah, I was an instructor. So three pilots. I remember the one pilot, his wife died, and here was all these pilots and airplane personnel that came to that funeral service and heard the gospel I remember sitting in a doctor's office, and there was an 80-year-old man beside me, and the Lord said, talk to him. It was on a Monday. And here he read the Bible many times that he'd understand it, and I led him to the Lord. I found out for 27 years, for four of those years he was the prime minister, and the rest of the years he served in the parliament. Wow, what a catch. He was a very well-respected man. But I went to his house and led him to the Lord Jesus Christ. To God be the glory. You know, scientists that I know that used to not believe the Bible, they didn't believe the truth. We have one that comes to Fiji every year, and he's given out science creation books so that people won't believe in evolution. And he told me the day when he saw the footprints in the dinosaur, human footprints that proves creation, that dinosaurs and human beings existed together. Wow, what a God. What a marvelous thing. I want to give you four reasons why we should follow Jesus today in my message. Four reasons. First of all, I want to talk about the fish. Second of all, I want to talk about fear. Thirdly, I want to talk about forsaking. And then finally today, I want to talk about following the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, the fish. We read the story. The witnesses of the miracle catch. God is able. They left fish and they followed Christ. The fish for men. Amen. God chose these men that are weak. And these men were despised. And these men were simple men. Aren't you glad that God chooses? Not the people that the world would choose, but the people that he knows. That are the ordinary people. The humble people. Somebody said this morning, we were in the pastor's class, and said, I couldn't be a missionary. Well, join the club. We couldn't do anything for God if it wasn't through him that strengtheneth us. I couldn't be here today, amen? I'd rather be sitting down there. You're all looking at me. I'd rather sit down there and look at the person up here. But it's God that called these fishermen. Let's look at it. God loves you, and God has a wonderful plan for your church. God has a wonderful plan for your life. Can I say something to you that I see a lot of people, I heard a sermon one time, stuck in the mud. You ever get stuck in the mud? You couldn't get out? That's the way it is with Christianity. We need revival. We need to turn back and let God do it again. And believe that God can do it again. Oh, times are hard and times are difficult. Let's be positive. We're going fishing today. We just heard the results of the story. They had so much results that they couldn't handle it all. A little girl sang a song one time and said, if he keeps blessing and blessing, I don't know what I'm going to do. That's what it is today as missionaries. We can come back and tell you the wonderful stories. The day before I left, online, we got this couple and they're three children to come to our church from Korea. They found us online. They came to our church, and the children know English, and the father and mother don't know very well much English, about 70%. So I went to their house. I've been there many times doing Bible studies, and finally the father came to the table. He hadn't come to the table before, and I led him to the Lord through the daughter interpretation. I said, thank you, Lord. God did it. I was just an instrument. That I could be there and give her the wonderful truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 5 quickly. And Peter says, and we have toiled all night and we've taken what? Nothing. See, there again, I told you without Christ, John 15, 5, I can do nothing. But in Philippians 4, 13, I can do all things. That's the difference. Who's doing the work through our lives? Who's doing the ministry? Through our lives, it's God that opens up the doors. It's God's appointments. It's God's leadership. It's God's guide. Peter was discouraged. He was tired. He said, nevertheless, at thy word. Can I tell you that most people, you go all through life and you meet people. They've toiled all night long and caught nothing. They've toiled all life long and caught nothing. There's nothing out there to life. There's nothing that lasts. I watch people. I watch their choices. I watch their careers. I watch their decisions. And I say, oh, if they just would have followed Jesus. Their children. Their lives would have been so much different. Because they came to a crossroad and they made wrong choices. Here is the disciples, and what were they going to do? They went fishing. I mean, these guys were experienced. I mean, these guys were determined. They were seaworthy. They knew how to fish. I always go with somebody who knows how to fish or somebody who knows how to hunt so I can learn. A lot of things that I never would have learned if I wasn't teachable and humble. You know, skills and abilities. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. You see, launch out is a command from Jesus. Jesus says, launch out. Go out into the highways and byways and compel them to come in. And they began to make excuses. If you know the story of the Great Supper. I don't have time to go through the excuses, but not one of them held water. They were all ridiculous. The fish. You see, there's three words I want you to remember today. When we think about what Jesus is trying to do to these disciples, you have to know you're saved. Can I ask you the most important question? I pass out these all the time. I keep them with me. Where will you spend eternity? If you died right now, do you know for sure that you'd go to heaven or hell? Are you prepared to meet God? If you're here today, you can know for sure by putting your simple faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. It all begins by asking Jesus to come into your life and to forgive you of your sins and give you a home in heaven. That's the most important decision that you'll ever make. The second thing is surrendered. How many Christians are surrendered? You see, you're saved, but then there's a time in your life when you say, Lord, I'm giving my life to you. I'm surrendering my life. And the third word is service. Serving the Lord is the greatest thing in the world. Serve the Lord with gladness. To serve God. Who is God? How great is God? The privilege. If the government of Fiji came and asked me to serve them. If somebody told me that I'm going to give you a great job in a company. Or I'm going to give you a greatest promotion you could ever have. I could always say no. Because I have the greatest job in the world. I'm serving the greatest one that I could ever serve. And that's God Almighty. Do something. God will bless you. God will use you. The moment you're willing to listen, the moment you're willing to obey His voice, then God moves in. Let down the nets. The weight of the nets were beyond any words. This boat was going down. This is the truth in that passage. Whenever Peter looked on shore and saw Jesus, got down on his knees, said, oh God, I'm a sinner. Depart from me. He saw who he was. You see, in Isaiah chapter 6, you know when Isaiah, I love the book of Isaiah. It's like a miniature Bible. Just study it. It's full of everything. He saw him in his glory. Isaiah did. He saw his robes. He saw his fullness. Who will go for us? And he said, Lord, here am I. Send me. You see, this church will move forward for God when they listen to God's voice. When they listen to God's word and obey it. See, most people are trying to market the church. Most people are trying to say, we got it all together. Or we're better than you. And we have bigger numbers because we do this and that. The most important thing is we have to please God. We have to listen to God. Because God's the one we're going to stand before one day. I'm not here to please man. He's the one. It's His cause, not our cause. You and I can never be the same again whenever we meet Him. Whenever we meet the Lord Jesus and He comes to live in our lives. He's worthy! Every knee will bow, every tongue, every one of us will give an account to God. Every church will give an account to God. Is your conscience clear? A lot of churches need to go back and ask forgiveness to God and to other people and say, we hurt you. We did wrong. We need to look to God. You know, like I tell my people, I love you. I'll lay my life down for you. And they say, Pastor, we know you'll lay your life down because you gave your life here. So we could have life through Jesus Christ. And now you've given your family. I never told my boys to be missionaries, but they watched us. They observed us. God worked in their hearts because we had to live what the book said. We had to follow the principles. And they come out every time. Number two, the fear. Look at verse 10 quickly. And fear not, from henceforth thou shalt what? Catch men. You see, they live without faith. They were doing it in the energy of the flesh. One pastor and one church said, we did everything in the flesh when they came to the end of their lives in ministry. Tragedy. Tragedy. They caught zero. From now on, we're going to catch men. Ask yourselves, how can I do and be what the Lord wants me to be? See, our enemies are this. Listen very closely at this point. It's sin. We fall into sin. It's the flesh is weak. And then it's Satan. He's always there to deceive. He's always there to blind us from the truth. You know, secularism. Let me talk about that. First of all, these are enemies. Secularism, humanism, socialism, and then communism. No belief or fear of God. No right and wrong. No true freedom, liberty, and life that made America great. The voices say, let me make you successful. The voices of the world say, let me train you. Let me teach you. Let me gain material wealth for you. Look at Lot's wife when she looked back. The Bible says that if a man gains the whole world in Mark 8:36, but he loses his soul. You know, another verse that came to my mind was that whosoever will save his life will lose it, but whoever gives his life will save it. What a reversal. Even Christians today are getting caught up in the mud of the society of this culture. We're getting sucked under. We're not living above our faith. We're not seeing God work because we've substituted everything else like the Israelites did so many times. You know what it says in Joshua 1:8? Just look it up if you have time. But I love Jeremiah 29:11. It says that we have an expected end. Amen. With God, this church can't lose. With God, your family can't lose. With God, our lives can't lose. For all eternity, are you excited you're saved today? You know, if you were at a ball game or you were fishing or hunting, man, you'd be... Whenever our Fiji team, we win the World Cup. Yeah, in rugby. We don't have any money. All we have is, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. We put it on our jersey and we have a boot and a prayer. But we can beat the whole world in rugby. Because these guys get up 5 o'clock in the morning, they start praying. They start asking God to help them. And then when they're done, on the radio announcers, you know how the world is. You know, they want to hear God. They don't want to hear anything about giving. We just want to give God all the glory and the honor for helping us win today. And I'm like, I'm shouting through the TV. It's like a little boy came in our vans. In our church up in Erie, we started, and he was the worst kid in the Sunday school. And after Sunday school, everybody was just yelling and going down the hallway and said, Marvin got saved. Because I went and said, quiet, children. I said, okay, great. Marvin got saved. They'll be different from now on in Sunday school. What do we get excited about? What do we really believe in? Jesus says, I died for you so you could have an abundant life. I love you, and I want the best for you. I will make you succeed and make you show you great and mighty things that thou knowest not. Who owns you? Who do you belong to? You think about that? Who do you belong to? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. If you purchase something and somebody takes it off of you at Walmart or wherever, Bosco, wherever else you shop, or grocery stores, they can't do that. So how can someone take our life from God? Because our breath, our life belongs to God. Thank God for that. Amen? This church belongs to God. Somebody says, well, it's my church. It's the pastor's church. No, it's God's church. To God be the glory. Isn't that what you sang? You know, so many churches in Fiji that have so many different beliefs. They're dividing and they're splitting. And it's all because it's built on the flesh. It isn't built on the Word of God. It's not built on the Spirit of God. It lasts when it's done right. You know, so many churches want to compromise. So many churches want to change everything, but the Word of God doesn't change. It's all there. Be holy, as I'm holy. That everything shouldn't be worldly. Is the world taking over the church, or is the church taking over the world? It's a good question. There's two things I want to say quickly, and then we're going to hit our last two points. Did you folks ever hear the time my boy said, "Dad, you said five times in closing?" They said, "You're not the father we wanted. You're the father that we needed." Wow. Got to work harder at it. Amen. I just wanted to make sure they were listening. So this is number one closing, okay? See if you're listening. There's two choices in life. Live in a way that glorifies and honors the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Or else live in a way that glorifies and honors ourselves in the sin-cursed world that's ready to be judged. It's simple. God made a man, and God made a... It's simple. You live for self and your own ways, or you live for God and for His glory. That's what it's all about, amen? What are we going to do about it? So, that's the word. Fish, number one. What was the second word? And the third word is forsaking. To leave it with the Lord. To leave it in His hands. You know, as I think about the forsaking, D.L. Moody was a shoe man. And he left being a salesman. He shook continents for God. Because he was willing. I think of Darlene Rose. I think of Thomas Baker. He came to Fiji and he went into the interior and they put him in the soup with his other seven men that went with him. That means they ate him. That's the price that those missionaries paid. Now, because of the gospel, they don't do that anymore. In India, they threw the twins in the river because they felt that there was a curse. Whenever the husband died, the wife was burned on top of the fire. No more. Because of the word of God. At thy word. What a blessed thing. Oh, I think of John Williams and John Patton. I think of my pastor up in Erie, Pennsylvania, Walnut Creek Baptist Church. He was an engineer in Saudi Arabia. He had 30 men working with him. He had everything. One day God called him to preach. The world will call you a fool. But in all eternity, he'll be what God has called him to be. That's what it's all about. I think of Moses and the burning bush. Moses did it his way, and in the bush, it burned out in 24 hours because he killed an Egyptian. He forgot to cover his toes up. He got caught. But over here was a bush, and it just kept burning, and it kept burning, it kept burning. And guess what? God was in the bush. Is this church going to remain faithful and truthful to the Word of God when everybody else is changing? You'll succeed with God. You'll pass the test with God. You'll be approved. We got to have God's presence. What would hinder God's presence here today? Because we don't let God have His way. What would hinder God's power? If I'm just up here and I'm just here because, Pastor, I'm just doing it, you know, but I'm not really seeking the Lord. I'm not seeking the Lord for what He wants. When I saw this fishing story, I got so excited. I just couldn't let it go. Launch out into the deep. Don't be satisfied. Don't be comfortable. You know, remember the old lighthouse? And the old lighthouse, whenever there was a ship out there, and it was like it needed someone to bring it into the harbor, and those men gave their lives and ran out there with the boats to save them. They kept that beam there so the ship could find its way to the harbor, and they saved those people's lives. You know, the old loud house is closed down now. It's a country club. They put in nice carpet, and they have air conditioning, and they just go there for social events. They don't care about rescuing anybody anymore. Pastor said about people being saved, that's our heartbeat. That's our thrill. That's why we send missionaries to go and just tell them about the love of Jesus. Tell them that they can go to heaven. through the cross of Jesus Christ. What a privilege. What an honor. And so as we think of that today, we think of the forsaking. We think of that every day of our lives, we need to realize that we've been bought with a price. All we have belong to Him. Are willing to let Him do as He pleases. Number four, in closing, the following. Just look at verse 11. Did I say second in closing now? That's how many I got. Is that how many you have? Whew, amen. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and what? See, Pastor was teaching Sunday school today about the look at the church, what the church should be. What's your belief? You know, they have churches today like ice cream with different flavors at Meadows. Go to the church of your choice. I want to go to the church that Jesus would go to and belong to. I want our church in the mission field, our churches, to be like that. My son Scott went to the airport, our international airport. They've spent millions of dollars, I think $130 million, to renovate it and fix it up because the tourists just keep coming and coming and coming. And so he started Anchor Baptist Church there. Has five good families, dad, mom, children, to get started with. Wow, what a blessing. He needs land. He needs a building by faith, eh? My son Paul, he went to, he's another 2 hours the other direction at Harvest Baptist Church. He has 5 acres of land we use for our camp. So exciting. And now Josh and Francis, they want to do different things. They have a vision. Where there's no vision, the people what? Perish. It's so important. The following, look at that verse 11. It says, and when they had bought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. See? You know, it's a reasonable service. It's no big thing. It's just a natural response. Nobody ever did anything like Jesus done. Jesus died for this church. Jesus lives for this church. The Word of God is preached. We're not preaching our own message. We're preaching His message. We're telling people His truths. And they're eternal. They're lasting. Oh, what a privilege to preach the Word. One day one of my boys said, Daddy, preach the Word. Don't preach politics. Don't preach humanism. Preach the Word. There's prosperity and health churches, and there's churches that make you feel good. But you know, when my people go home from church in Fiji, the Word of God stays with them all week long. They have a walk with the Lord. They have an experience with the Lord. Have you had an experience with the Lord? Do you have a walk with the Lord? Is it real? Is it dedicated? Nobody wants to commit their lives to the Lord. There was a church in Africa, and they were taking up a special offering for the church this one Sunday. And so after the service, this little girl came up. And she handed in a handkerchief to the pastor and said, here's my gift, Pastor. And you know what happened? It was more than all the other money that was given. And some of the church members started blaming her and telling her, where did you steal it from? And she starts crying. And she says, no, I became a slave girl. And I earned this money for Jesus and His church. And one time in Africa, a man by the name of George came forward. The offering plates are missing, so I can't illustration. He took the offering plate off the table and he stood in it. Pastor said, George, you can't stand in the offering plate. He said, Pastor, he said, I don't have any chicken, I don't have any pigs, and I don't have any money, so I've decided to give the Lord my life. I think that's what the Lord wants. Because when He has you, He has everything. Because it all belongs to God. You know, you dedicate your children to the Lord. Do you dedicate them to the Lord or you dedicate them to the things of the world? You dedicate this church to the Lord or you dedicate it to the world and to pleasing the world? We have to make a choice. We have to decide. And so we think of Jesus just using the simple fish. And then we all have fear. Say, I can't do that. I couldn't give anybody a track that said, where will you spend eternity? Well, God can give you the power if you just let him sit on the throne room of your life. The following, the disciples were used of God. They will never be forgotten for all eternity. The tribes of Israel, the disciples, everything that was done because the simply followed the Lord Jesus Christ. Straightway, no doubt, in Fiji we say, no double-mindedness. Flip-flop Christians. They're unstable in all their ways. A church is unstable. They don't have any purpose. They don't have any meaning. But with Jesus Christ, he'll give you purpose. He'll give you meaning. He'll give you real life. Nobody else can give you the life. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. 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 Real life. Real meaning. Real purpose. So many people are struggling and are having problems and difficulties because they took their eyes on Jesus and they're sinking. Churches are sinking. Preachers don't want to preach the word of God because they're afraid to offend the people. Preach the word. Tell the truth. Lift up Jesus in all his glory and on his all honor. There was a missionary in closing. I looked back at my wife and she smiled. She just wants to let me know she loves me. So it's personal, okay? So don't get involved. And I love her. Deeper than the sea. Wow. Wider than the ocean. You men need to tell that to your wife. In Pennsylvania, they don't do that, do they? I told her I loved her when I married her, and if there's any difference, I'll let her know. See, I'm from Pennsylvania. That's the grossest. I'll tell you about some of the stories. But we do love our families, don't we? We love our God. We love our nation. Bolton. Nope. His name's Borden. I always get it mixed up. He went to China. He had $1 million from his family's inheritance. You know what he did with it? He gave it away. He didn't want it to be a stumbling block. He didn't want it to hinder his service for God. He just got rid of it. He went to China. This is what he said in his Bible. He wrote, first of all, he wrote, no reserves. Later on in his Bible, he wrote, no retreat. And finally, he wrote, no regrets. See, we can get moved in our mind emotionally. And some people get moved like that. But to get moved in your heart, to love God with all your heart, to love your neighbor as yourself, to serve God with everything you have. Like that little girl did. Her offering was more than anybody else gave. Jesus didn't count those people that gave show offerings in the temple. He saw that little woman, the widow, and she gave everything she had. He sees the heart. If you're here today without Christ, have you accepted him from your person? From your heart, not from people accept Christianity, but they miss heaven by that much because they don't accept Christ from their heart. There's a song that says this. And the second thing, people don't serve God. You say, oh, we had a message today. We heard it all right. But did you respond? Most people make decisions not to respond. Everybody makes a decision. But where you stand with Jesus today? What does he mean to you? How close do you live to him? What do you really love? Love not the world, neither the things of the world. If many love the Father, love the world, they can't love the Father. He's a jealous God. Here you go. Here's a song that I want to close with. Take up thy cross and follow me. I heard my Savior say, I gave my life to ransom thee. Surrender your all today. Wherever he leads, I'll go. Wherever he leads, I'll go. I'll follow my Christ who loves me so. Wherever he leads, I'll go. Maybe it's across the street. Maybe it's to the family reunion where there's so many of your family that don't know Christ as their Savior. Maybe it's bringing people to church. Maybe it's teaching a Sunday school class. Maybe it's going off to serve the Lord. Somebody said, one day, I don't want my daughter to go to Bible college. or my son because they might end up on the mission field. I know one man that said that my daughter will never go to Africa, and he died of a heart attack the next week. Look at Jonah. God will always have the winning side. And God will always bring you out on the winning side. One statement, only one life till soon be passed. And only what's done for Christ will last. Let's bow our heads.